the best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us this afternoon, however you may be listening. AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester. Dumb app. Celebrating the Bills, your first place Buffalo Bills after 2 weeks. The victory in Miami where we saw Josh Allen develop right before our very eyes, and wanted to get somebody on with us who we've been talking about Josh Allen with from the very early days of Josh Allen before he was a Buffalo Bill, when he was just a prospect. Josh Allen in Wyoming. It's Chris DiPasso, CBS Sports, joining us in the Sports Bar. Chris, how you been, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How are you?
Hey, Chris, it's fun to be talking about this. I'm sure everybody's got a little bounce in their step here in Western New York if you love the Buffalo Bills. Chris, the development of Josh Allen, is it a chicken or egg thing? Because I look at the wide receivers getting open. I look at the offensive line. We don't, you know, we shouldn't look past that they've been given Allen enough time. But what in your mind are the reasons that Josh Allen is, so far, it's young season, but what are the reasons that Josh Allen has taken these steps so far here in 2020?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two things that you just pointed out on this roster. But I'll go with the offensive line first. I think it's easy to say with Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley, three guys who can get open on seemingly every play at all levels of the field, that they are the main reason why we've seen this development. But we really saw that step forward from Josh Allen last year when it was just Brown and Beasley because the offensive line protected him better. And watching Josh Allen yesterday, especially in that fourth quarter where we've seen a lot of Bills quarterbacks over the last really two decades ultimately fall short on the road down in the fourth quarter to not lead just one touchdown drive, but two touchdown drives to make it at one point an 11-point game. All I was thinking about, like you mentioned, back to his days as a prospect, that yes, there were a lot of wayward misses. There was a lot of hero ball interceptions and some crazy plays outside the structure. But I've been on this show many times saying, at Wyoming, when they protected him well and they were up against a team with, you know, the same amount of talent in the Mountain West, he was throwing lasers all over the field. So I think hats off to Brandon Bean for identifying that and saying, I can build a quality offensive line around Josh Allen so he's not too antsy. And we certainly know all the physical tools are there. Then they add the wide receivers, they bring in a true number one in Stephon Diggs, and through two games, yes, the competition needs to be considered, but we're seeing him grow into one of the best quarterbacks in the league, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been a delight to watch so far this season. Chris DiPasso, CBSSports.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Do you have any concerns that, given different circumstances, you know, and let's look at week three's opponent, the Rams. You got Jalen Ramsey, somebody that he threw at as a rookie and you know, made him eat his words when he was still in Jacksonville. But do you have any concerns that, given a stiffer competition, we might see some remnants of bad Josh come out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always the case with any quarterback, and I'm not expecting a 417-yard performance at home against the Rams next week. You also have to throw in Aaron Donald in there as well, that he creates havoc on the inside. But if there's been one thing beyond Josh Allen's precision as a passer at all levels of the field, even down the field, that has really stood out, it's also been what we've known about him from the beginning, that there have been some free rushers, corner blitzes, linebackers right up the gut, on delayed blitzes that Josh Allen has made miss. So Allen is one of the few quarterbacks, I'm not going to say that is going to elude Aaron Donald all game if he gets into the backfield, but he does have the ability, when things don't go the offensive line's way on a certain play, that Josh Allen can get outside the structure, either run, or as we saw a lot in that game against the Dolphins, he's not instantly putting his head down. He's looking upfield, wants to be a passer first, and then he, as a last resort, resorts to being that runner. So I think this will be a good test, but it's kind of funny how it's worked out for the Bills that they had two lesser opponents to start the season. I've seen a lot of half-kidding tweets about, hey, was this kind of like the Bills preseason, that they got two of the bottom teams in the NFL. I think that was a good kind of start for this team to then get into a pretty important four-game stretch over the next month.
And Chris, you've watched the quarterback, Josh Allen, since his days at Wyoming. Am I fair to say that he's using a little bit more of his repertoire, like a baseball pitcher that has different pitches, that I'm noticing a little more touch on some of his throws? And I think back to one game last year in New England, the pass to Dawson Knox, that certainly had it. But is Josh Allen learning, would you say, to take something off his fastball every once in a while? Or is that a part of his game that you always saw in Wyoming?
I saw it actually in 2016, the year before his final season at Wyoming, when he had a few NFL players on that team. The offensive line was better. A lot of what happened in his final season, the offensive line wasn't as good. His receivers weren't getting as open. And that year was kind of reminiscent of what the Bills gave him with Zay Jones and Kelvin Benjamin in 2018. And really in his sophomore season, when he broke out at Wyoming and became this, hey, this guy from Wyoming could become a top 10 or the number one overall pick. I'm seeing more of that, Josh Allen. He seems so much more comfortable that year because of the offensive line. He had a couple of reliable targets on that Wyoming team, and he has that now. To have such a quality connection so soon with Stephon Diggs, and we know he has it with John Brown and Cole Beasley. And the thing with the deep ball that I noticed is that I think, and it's kind of to your point about the fastball element of it, that a lot of his misses last year were deep, that he wasn't putting enough air under the passes. And just watching Russell Wilson last night, who for a long time has been the best deep ball thrower in the league, he's not afraid to put air under the football. As long as you're not having a free safety in the middle of the field that can track that football, give your wide receivers a chance to either slow down, to come back toward the middle of the field, go toward the sideline. And I think yesterday, and maybe this entire offseason, Josh Allen was working on putting more air under the football because he doesn't need to use his full arm strength to throw the ball 40 or 50 yards. And I think that's why we've seen a lot of these deep ball connections that just were not there last year.
We're talking with Chris DiPasso, CBSSports.com, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Chris, I want to talk about the play of Dawson Knox because I think it's a little disappointing through 2 weeks. I know the concussion led to an early exit in yesterday's game, and he's in protocol now. We'll see if he returns in time for week three. But what are your thoughts on the second-year tight end's performance up to this point?
I'm not really surprised, and what I always end up doing is going back to how I view these players as prospects.
Sure.
And Dawson Knox, to be a third-round pick, that was my least favorite pick in that draft class last year just because he was so raw, and the Bills traded up to get him. The athleticism was there, and we've seen the flashes of the athleticism, the ability to make those tough catches. He had one in week one against the Jets. You talked about that touchdown catch that catch down to the one-yard line in New England last season. But he just wasn't throwing the football very often in college. There was A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf on that Ole Miss team, and we saw him drop a lot of passes last year, had a drop against the Dolphins, fumbles, or against the Jets, has a fumble yesterday. So it's not super surprising that you see flashes, you see the reason why he was a third-round pick, but then you also see that this is someone that just didn't enter the league having made 90 or 100 catches in his collegiate career. So I think I'm not going to say he's a full year away from being a contributor, but some of the hype that he could be one of the best tight ends in the NFL in his second season, I think we're a ways away from that because he's just needs to develop more as a player and become more reliable catching the football and holding on to it once he catches it.
Chris, of course, the Bills were hurt by not having Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, and you know we're not going to find out here for a little bit, you know, the status of those two players. But I wanted to ask you about Dotson because let's say if the Bills do get Edmonds but not Milano, what type of player is Dotson, and could he be a long term replacement for Milano? I'm getting ahead of myself here, but just your thoughts on Dotson and if he's got to go out against the Rams this week.
Yeah, I certainly remember scouting him at Texas A&M. I think I ultimately had him as like a sixth-round talent. He went undrafted. There were some off-field issues with him. But we saw early in the game yesterday in Miami, he made a great play in coverage, sniffed out a screen very well, made a few tackles for loss in the backfield where he just read where the block was going and beat the pulling guard to that hole. He's a little smaller. He's athletic. I think that's why Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean signed him as an undrafted free agent last year, because they don't want these big, slower downhill linebackers in this scheme. I think he can be a serviceable replacement for Matt Milano over a few games. I don't want to say that, or I don't think the Bills should say, hey, we have Matt Milano's replacement immediately. But for his first career start, I was really impressed with his play. And I think the problem with the middle of the Bills defense yesterday was the other linebacker position. They had to throw a third safety on the field quite often. Dean Marlowe kind of got victimized. So I think with Terrell Dotson, they have someone that kind of fits that Matt Milano mold. Smaller, quicker, not a lot of hesitation. He might bite on play action. He might miss some tackles, but he can give you those splash plays in coverage and behind the line that have really become customary over the first 3 years in Matt Milano's career.
Well, you talk about biting on play action, Chris. The Rams run more play action than any other team in the league through 2 weeks of this young season. I mean, how are the Bills' defense going to have to prepare for what the Rams are going to throw at them on Sunday?
Well, anytime you watch any Rams broadcast, you'll hear the commentators bring up that the foundational element of this Sean McVay offense is that every play looks the same at the snap. They run that outside zone stretch running play to the left or the right, and then the next play, it looks the exact same. The offensive line does the same thing, and it's a play-action bootleg to the other side. So there has to be not only great discipline, because when you're seeing that handoff motion from Jared Goff, as a linebacker, you have to attack toward the outside. The ability to stop and start in the other direction and get depth as a linebacker or as a safety down the middle of the field, where they really like to attack with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp out of the slot, they just have to instantly realize that not every play is going to be a run. And for the defensive line, it's huge that you're not facing a team that's going to give you a lot of one-on-one battles in the trenches. The smaller, faster players like Ed Oliver, like Quentin Jefferson, Jerry Hughes, have to be able to get across the line of scrimmage and set a strong edge, because you're not going to see a lot of lead blockers in this Rams attack. It's everything about getting horizontal and stretching a defense that way.
I want to say it was Troy Aikman who said this, Chris. And I don't know if you recall during a broadcast that he called Robert Woods the best receiver in the game. And everybody's like, what? What are you talking about? But he has so many other elements to his game. And when we talk about Buffalo Bills players that find greener pastures, Stephon Gilmore, Jason Peters, certainly Marshawn Lynch, I mean, should we start including Robert Woods in that conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's funny is that I remember after Doug Whaley drafted Robert Woods in 2013, he said that I don't think Robert Woods is ever going to be an all-pro, but he's going to be a really good pro for about 10 years. And I think, you know, ultimately it didn't work out with Robert Woods in Buffalo contract-wise. He had, you know, a good first four seasons in Buffalo, but I think that was spot on, because Robert Woods, he's not electric. He's not a dynamic athlete. He's not particularly big or strong, but he can beat press coverage at the line of scrimmage. That's the first element of being able to succeed in the NFL, because you're going to see that so much more than you do in college. He runs very intricate routes. And he's reliable. He catches the football, has a pretty big catch radius for being only a 6-foot receiver, and he's sneaky after the catch. So I think Sean McVay's offense is very quarterback and wide receiver friendly because of how much play action there is and how much green space that creates in the middle of the field. I don't think Robert Woods is the best receiver in the NFL, of course, but he is one of the more steady week to week and year to year wide receivers in the league.
Chris, I want to go back to the Bills wide receivers and Josh Allen's success this season thus far with the deeper ball. A lot of that success comes basically with that deep crossing route that we've seen a lot so far these first 2 weeks. Is that something that other defenses are going to be able to pick up on and defend a little bit easier here in the coming weeks? How are they going to adapt and kind of shift and be a little bit malleable in terms of still having that deep ball success if defenses start to figure out the kind of success that they're having with that one pattern?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That route or that concept, whatever you want to call it, is mostly to beat man coverage, because it's really hard for any cornerback in the league to cover Stephon Diggs or John Brown all the way across the field, even Cole Beasley, because he's so quick at the line of scrimmage. If they get a step, it's not just covering in a straight line. They're trailing the entire play across the entire field. If the Bills start to see more zone coverage, I think Brian Daboll and Josh Allen and the receivers will have to adjust and start to hit different types of downfield plays, maybe post routes or just straight go routes on the outside. The Dolphins play a lot of man coverage. Brian Flores, being a disciple of Bill Belichick, they play a lot of man. Jalen Ramsey is one of the better man cornerbacks in the league. After Wade Phillips, I'm not really sure what the Rams, if they lean in one direction or not, but when the Bills can identify, Josh Allen can identify that it's a man coverage before the snap, or if they go into a game or a quarter or a half knowing that they're going to see a lot of man coverage, I think we will see more of that deep over route, just because it is so difficult for a corner to cover all the way across the field.
Any theories as to why Stephon Diggs was let go by Minnesota? I mean, you don't see the number one receiver, the stats translate right away. But Chris, I mean, we're 2 weeks in, and you're talking about gaudy numbers from Diggs. Normally it doesn't work out.
I mean,
this
we should send Minnesota something, like a fruit basket something, right? I mean, this is unfair.
Yeah, definitely. I don't really know, especially because this offseason Kirk Cousins was signed to a 2 or 3 year contract extension, and he's getting up there in age. This is not a Vikings team that is rebuilding. It's kind of similar to the Green Bay Packers, that yes, the Packers have started out well, kind of the polar opposite of the Vikings, but in the draft, they almost drafted like they were rebuilding. And the Stephon Diggs trade was almost as if the Vikings were saying, okay, yeah, we're kind of closer to being a top 10 pick in the draft type of team than winning a Super Bowl. That Diggs, since he got into the NFL in 2015 as a fifth-round pick out of Maryland, has shown that he's an elite route runner. He's outstanding in contested catch situations. We saw a couple of those catches yesterday. And he's awesome after the catch. So I think what the Bills sent to Minnesota was probably a fair price for him. But this team, it's kind of funny. Bills are 2-0, pass-heaviest team in the NFL, have Stephon Diggs. The Vikings have looked terrible through 2 weeks. They want to really run the football and feature this offense around Dalvin Cook. They're 0-2. Kirk Cousins doesn't really look comfortable if he doesn't have a top-tier set of wide receivers. And a lot of the games last year for the Vikings, when they were winning games and when they did make the playoffs, Kirk Cousins was like 10 of 12 for 100 yards. Mm-hmm. So it shows that the Bills, their analytics department, their coaching staff, is smartly favoring this team being pass heavy, and I think it's really paid off in the first 2 weeks for the Bills.
It looks like the NFL football in the year 2020. Yep. Chris, you know what? It's great having you on, and we know that you don't have an off season. What are you working on at CBSSports.com here? We've got some college football action. I'm sure you're already diving into tape with some of the prospects that we're going to be hearing a lot about here early in 2021.
Yeah, actually, a lot of my draft stuff won't start until after this weekend. Outside of Trevor Lawrence, we haven't really gotten a lot from the top prospects yet. But once the SEC starts this weekend, that'll certainly change. And actually tomorrow, I'm going to go back and watch all of Josh Allen throws through these first 2 weeks. And I had my editor say, we need to write something on Josh Allen, an in-depth piece, because there's a case that he's been the best quarterback in the NFL through 2 weeks, and just to look at his growth and development. So if you guys want to have me on again, I certainly would love to jump on and talk to some 585 guys.
Oh, well, okay. We'll see when might that post then? So you're going to watch it? Is that early next week, Chris?
Tomorrow morning, actually. There's not a lot. I'm going to dive into the tape tonight and then probably write it until relatively late tonight, and then it'll be up tomorrow morning at CBS.
He's one of these guys, Danger. He will be up till 5 in the morning and then, pound it out. Love that work ethic. Chris, appreciate your time today. Let's do it again then.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Chris Faso, CBSSports.com. Writing a piece, Josh Allen, is he the best quarterback in the NFL? Would you ever have thought that you'd be asking that question at any point this season?
300 game follows up with a 400. What is this, going to be a 500-yard game?
Let's go.
It's the Rams? Yeah, this defense, though, okay. okay, let's everybody, you know, what are they going to come out with? Is it going to be man zone? I like, Danger, how you picked up on that, though, the crossing routes. Like, if they're going to play zone, okay, there ain't going to be no crossing routes.
Right. No, it was, it was something that was there all day yesterday. And it was there a lot against the Jets. And they make it look effortless. Going to be a tough thing to stop, or is it? I mean, our defense is going to pick up on that and try to force Josh Allen into those mistakes that I think, I don't want to call him mistake prone, but he's made mistakes. There are throws that he struggles with. These are not those throws.
When he's not under pressure, though, this is what you get.
Great point.
Yeah.
Let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Oh, boy. Lots to get to here. A lot of injuries, unfortunate injuries. These are the kind of injuries that alter a team's season. We'll get to that and more next as we serve up the top stories from around the NFL in bite-sized form. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.